This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, you're listening to Queercast, Singapore's only LGBT podcast.
A very good evening, everybody. You are, as always, listening to Nick D, and we are coming to you this time from Taipei, where it is Pride Weekend. I'm joined by Victoria Xu. She is president of the Taiwan Alliance to Promote Civil Partnership Rights. Mm-hmm. She is an attorney in law and also an openly lesbian candidate in Taiwan's 2016 legislative election. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. So first off, can you sort of tell us a little bit about the organization?
Sure. Taiwan Alliance to Promote Civil Partnership Rights, TAPCPR, was established in 2009. Yeah, and this is the first organization dedicated to marriage equality in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because you know, before us, even though there were several LGBT organizations, but since the LGBT issues were varied and not. There was none organization specifically advocate for marriage equality. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been a very historical year for Taiwan, especially on the marriage equality front. Mm-hmm. So Taiwan's constitutional court has ruled that the island's civil code, which mm-hmm. states that only a man and woman can marry, violated constitutional guarantees. Mm-hmm. It has now given the legislator mm-hmm. 2 years to amend the civil code. Right. However, now we are sort of like the in-between period. So right. is it too early to celebrate seeing that there's not yet a concrete law in place?
Okay. In a sense, you may say so. Mm. Because, you know, for example, after the ruling, the same-sex couples still cannot go to the household registration office and get their marriage registered. Mm. Because the Grand Justice of our constitutional court said that, they give the legislature 2 year of grace period mm-hmm. to amend our laws. And, in this grace period, the situation is quite, it's kind of a paradoxical situation because, you know, on the one hand, we know that not allowing same-sex couples to get married is unconstitutional. But on the other hand, we still cannot get our marriage registered right now. Yeah. But, you know, I think that maybe we should interpret the court ruling in another way. I mean, you know, according to the decision of our constitutional court, it states clearly that if the legislature failed to amend our civil code in 2 years, then the same-sex couples can just go to the registration household, mm-hmm. the household registration office to register according to the current marriage chapter of our civil code. Mm-hmm. You know, which means that we can just change the way we interpret our civil code to extend to same-sex couples, and it would be enough. I mean, even though there would be no new legislation, mm-hmm. in that case, then why not now? I mean, it's very interesting legal question, and that's why we brought several cases before the Taipei Administrative Court to request a marriage immediately. Yeah.
So what seems to be holding up that process then? Why hasn't the civil code been changed?
I think it's out of some political concern. Yeah. In my point of view, I would say that the DPP, or the ruling party, they worry about the coming local election in 2018. Mm-hmm. They are afraid of to lose some votes from the conservative voters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see.
So they prefer to deal with this issue mm-hmm. after the local election. That's my personal point of view, yeah.
Mm, I see. So right now the deadline probably will be, or at least 2019.
Yeah,
okay,
May
and then
2019.
2018 there's going to be local election. So it's kind of a political strategic move on the part of the ruling party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Calculation,
right?
Yeah.
So, but the ruling itself is still very much a historical decision, not just for Taiwan alone, but the rest of Asia. Just yesterday, we had over 100,000 people show up at Pride. I think it was such a inspirational moment because they really see Taiwan mm-hmm. as an example for the rest of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
But getting to this point obviously mm-hmm. has not been easy.
It's
right?
Not easy. Yeah.
So can you just sort of tell us what were some of the challenges and mm-hmm. hurdles that that mm-hmm. Taiwan had to overcome in order to get to this point?
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a long story.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that if you take a look at our LGBT struggle history in Taiwan, I would say that you may divide it as three stages. The first stage is from 1990, after the abolition of martial law. And at that time, people discussed the LGBT issues in, for example, in radio, in the media, and they publish the magazines, something like that. And but there were no big organizations like today.
Mm.
So that would be especially focused on the cultural aspect
mm-hmm.
from 1990 to 2000. Yeah, that would be the first stage to make the public get acquaintance towards LGBT people, the existence of LGBT people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second stage from after 2001 to around 2010. In this period of time, there were a lot of more and more LGBT organizations mm-hmm. established, like Tongzhi Hotline or TAPCPR. Yeah. So This is a way to organize the community and to to introduce specific advocates goals to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a critical period of time for the the friendly resources and people could be get together and work together to break the silence.
Mm.
Because even though Taiwan in appearance seems very friendly to LGBT people, but on the other hand, you may interpret that as kind of ignorance.
Mm.
I mean, So and after 2010, you may say we are in a new stage. In that stage, we make LGBT issues as a kind of a political agenda, especially the promotion of marriage equality play a key role to this political aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we started to, for example, for TAPCPR, we started to study other countries' history to the role to marriage equality, mm-hmm. and we learn a lot from other judicial jurisdictions and the fight against, the homophobic, mm-hmm. anti-gay religious groups,
mm-hmm.
So on. And then we find that to promote legislation would be an effective way to break the silence
mm-hmm.
for the society and a good test for the politicians. Yeah, we make them to talk about this issue, good or bad. Yeah,
So how did you sort of manage to sort of reach these legislatures and sort of, you know, manage to convince them to talk about these issues? That must have been sort of quite difficult to break through, especially, you know, for politicians, they're always worried about votes, right? You know what I mean? So how did you sort of shift that mindset?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the version of TAP-CPR's amendments to the Civil Code, the Marriage Equality Bill, was passed the first reading in the Parliament in 2013. Yeah, the end of October of 2013. And 1 month later, there were more than 100,000 people, anti-gay people, gathered in front of our presidential palace. That would be the first time so many people, they were obviously expressed their anti-gay opinions in public. And then, you know, the politicians, they were shocked. And they were kind of, you know, they feel that they couldn't push this bill in the parliament directly. So, but that make the community, I mean, the that made the LGBT community has some kind of awareness that we should do something more to push the politicians to talk and to discuss and to make this kind of issue as human rights issue, but not something private, severe issue.
Okay.
And we combine the elections. I mean, before every big elections, we made the you know, the inquiries to every candidates to urge them to express their opinions towards LGBT issues and to make our recommended list to the voters.
So there seems to be sort of consistent engagement with the legislation, its representatives, in order for you to constantly keep the issue in the public sphere, in the mindset and stuff like that. If not, you know, the issue just dies, right? So, but, you know, once, you know, Taiwan does achieve marriage equality, and marriage equality has been such a rallying cry to unite the community around this goal. After that, are there, what are the other challenges that the community faces?
Okay. You know, now the anti-gay groups in Taiwan, they know that they couldn't be really against the marriage equality since we have had a victory from the, you know, from the ruling of Constitutional Court. So now they attack more fiercely to the gender equity education. Because, you know, in Taiwan, we have a gender equity law started from 2004, which include the LGBT inclusive education to in every level schools. So that's a very important ground for our LGBT movement too, because that would create a more friendly atmosphere in schools and teach children about LGBT, about sexual orientation and gender identity, so on. So it's very important, and now the it's important to us, and it's important to the anti-gay groups too, because they know that that would be a core issue and the battle that they should.
Right. Keep. So how has this battle, you know, how has it progressed so far? You know, is now that the Conservatives know that they can't win marriage equality, they're going after this really well. Is the focus now then really shifting towards this gender equity bill? Is the rest of the community, you know, going, you know, putting their energies there, or is it, or are they still focused on marriage?
Actually, I think that the LGBT community know that the gender equity bill, mm-hmm. that the gender equity law mm-hmm. is quite critical mm-hmm. to you know, to equality of LGBT citizens, mm-hmm. The social conditions and political conditions, so on. So, but the thing is that, you know, the anti-gay groups, they are quite, you know, compared to LGBT organizations, they are very rich and well organized, mm. and they meet each other very often, every week, you mm. know. And then, so they are well organized. So this is their, you know, this is their, that's something that the LGBT organizations couldn't compete with. Mm. So now most of the activists are worried because, you know, the anti-gay groups, they would lobby every local government to have some kind of setbacks mm. in this area. Mm. So the situation actually is quite critical, mm. I think so.
I see, mm-hmm. I see. Okay, so it looks like, yeah, the community really needs to sort of then, yeah, shift the focus slowly towards now, towards this education issue. Mm-hmm. You know, for a lot, like, as mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of activists outside of Taiwan mm-hmm. have looked to Taiwan's developments very closely mm-hmm. because they feel very inspired by what mm-hmm. Taiwan has done. Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of lessons mm-hmm. Can activists in Asia take away from Taiwan? Mm-hmm. What can they learn?
I would say that, you know, every country has its own social context mm-hmm. and its own battle. Yeah. So basically, I would say that we couldn't give up, and we should face the challenge and do our best. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, just like our client, Mr. Qi Jiawei, mm-hmm. he fought for marriage equality over more than 30 years.
So it's a long, road.
Right.
It's a long
right.
road,
and same-sex marriage is not a Western thing.
Yeah,
I mean, he started his fight, his personal fight, in 1986, mm-hmm. and Holland as the first country to legalize gay marriage, mm-hmm. that was 2001.
Wow, amazing. Well, we will definitely be continuing to watch Taiwan closely and pay attention to the developments here. I want to thank you for your time, for taking
thank
time
you.
To
My
speak
pleasure.
With us. You've been listening to Victoria Shi. She is the president of the Taiwan Alliance to Promote Civil Partnership Rights. And as always, you have been listening to Nick D. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This episode of Queercast was possible thanks to the support of Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, Australia's only LGBTI radio station who hosts our podcast. Keep queer voices on air and on podcast by becoming a member today at joy.org.au. We also have to thank our community collaborator, Uga Chaga, a non-profit counselling and personal development organisation for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and questioning individuals. They do incredible work for the community and you can help them continue their good work by donating. Visit www.ugachaga.com. Lastly, we want to say thank you to you, our listeners. And if you want to stay updated on new episodes or have an early sneak peek for future guests, follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Links to all our social media handles and our partners can be found in the description. Thanks, and we love you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.